Well, wherever you are, hope you're enjoying the weather wherever you are. But I am glad that everybody has joined in and tuned in this morning. I'm glad that Chris reminds me that, man, Zoom is great in these times that we're living in. And so this is great to have everybody here. We're going to be over in the book of Genesis.
All right.
And we're going to talk about imprint. Imprint. The word imprint, as it is defined, it means to impress or stamp a mark or outline on a surface or body. Imprint. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions here. It says, what are my lasting impressions or imprint on my community in 2020? Because 2020 is wrapping up. This chapter of our life is coming to a close. And so what are my lasting imprints on my community in 2020? What reports of your life goes ahead of you in your journey? And what I mean by that is that the things that you have done in 2020, people are going to remember. People are going to discuss, and it will be spoke about. And even right now, it's probably already ahead of you. And somewhere down the road, people will remember the things that you did in the year 2020. You know, people will discuss your good, and they will discuss your bad. Although you will not have personal contact with everyone, you will be known by more people because of your word of mouth or because of the imprint you have left on others who have decided to share about the things that you've done. The life you live will speak to who you were and to who you are and to who you possibly will be in the future. Imprint. What is your imprint? What imprint will you leave on this community here, or the community of where you are? Over in Genesis 23, chapter 23 is where we're going to be. Henry, Richard, and Scott have done a great job on the life of Abraham, and thought I would follow suit just on some more parts of Abraham's life, because, you know, Abraham has had a miraculous life, a great up and down life, and he's had some victories, he's had some low points, he's made some great and awesome decisions, and he's made some bad decisions, him and Sarah alike. And even after all that, God still blessed Abraham, still blessed him. Even after just the victory, we're trying to save Lot, even after the confusion of Sarah and Hagar, he still blessed him. And it's amazing, as I read it through, following behind Richard now, like, he fell into the same old type of trap and sin that he seemed to struggle with. And that was fear. Depending on the situation he was put in, he would get fearful, and then he would tend to lie about who Sarah was to him. And I thought, man, did we cross this bridge already? But I thought even after that, the Lord continued to bless him. The flesh keeps aging. We get to be thinking that a lot of times, you know. Everything that comes with aging in the body, and we just don't want the body to ache and hurt anymore, you know. So that's why Sharice, I'm following Sharice's example, my wife. She has made this great example of just walking. Sometimes three times a day, and I'm just amazed. I'm like, wow. So I've started walking with her. We're going to go walking after we leave here. And I'm like, well, you know, I can't live forever, but I'm going to try to live well like her, because she's doing a great job. And I think that's an imprint you want to leave on your body, an imprint you want to leave on the community, is that I know that I'm not going to live forever, but I know that I have the opportunity to live well. And so something that I'm learning from this Abraham and living long age and everything. But over here in Genesis chapter 23, we're going to pick up here about Sarah. And actually, this is just her passing, of course, when she passes away, when she dies. And it says in verse 1, it says, Sarah lived to be 127 years old. Now, theologians and historians say that she was the only one to ever live this long. You know, you always hear about the men living so many years and many years, but for among the women in the Bible, that she seems to be the only one that was able to live to be 127. I thought, wow, amazing. It says, she died at Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron. It says, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went to mourn for Sarah and to weep over her. It says, then Abraham rose from beside his dead wife and spoke to the Hittites. He said, I am a foreigner and a stranger among you. Sell me some property for a burial site here so I can bury my dead. Then it says, then the Hittite replied to Abraham, sir, listen to us. You are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our tombs. None of us will refuse you this tomb for burying your dead. You know, the first point I want to talk about here is your life prompts others to give their best to you. Ain't that something? Your life prompts others to give their best to you. So back to the first question. What was your life in 2020? Who did you imprint on? That maybe down the road, we don't know, that they may be so compelled by what you have done for them that there may come a time that they may do something for you and they say, we ask nothing in return. Nothing in return. You can go back further than that. What was your, who did you imprint on in 2019, 18, 16, 17? And I'm pretty sure some of us have seen in life that there have been people who have actually, that we did something for, we didn't forget all about it, and they have come back because they never forgot that imprint that you put on, that stamp that you put on them, or what you did for them, or what you said to them, or the advice that you gave, or how you made it help them navigate through some troubling times in their life. How you encourage them. People remember those stamps. They remember those marks that you put on their hearts. And it resonates with them in their mind. You know, did your lifestyle move anyone to do better in 2020? Think about that. Did your lifestyle, the way that you lived your life, did it move anyone to do better? Because, you know, we are people that when we do things, some of us want to see how it's going to come out, what it's going to work out to. Are they really going to change? Were they really listening to me? Did I make a difference? Hope they do well. And sometimes we'll be like, they ain't listening. They ain't hear a word I say. Hey, I did all I can do. I'm going to go on. But some of us want to know. You know, did your lifestyle move someone to give you their best? Who did something good for you this past year? Who did something because they loved you? Who did something for you because they remembered you? Or who just did something simply because, just out of the kindness of their heart? And we're just not talking about family, because, you know, of course, we kind of expect family to do right. But not all family members will do right. Not all family members feel the same way that you feel. They just don't. You know, I look at Abraham's situation, and I look at the impact he has on these people, because this is not where Abraham is from. He's from the land of Uz. He's not from here. But he's traveled all through this land. But people know him to be a godly man, a God-fearing man. And they noticed him because of his example and the way he carried himself. Yes, he fell on his face quite a few times. Yes, he fell flat. Yes, he's human like us. Made some bad decisions, fell into some sin. But God gave him enough grace to get back up and make some better decisions and live a better life. And because God gave him that grace, and because Abraham took advantage of that grace, here in the passing of his wife, he's like, I need a place to bury my wife. Because this is not my country. This is not my land. I own nothing here. But because of the imprint he's had in that community, they say, look, you choose whatever you want. You choose whatever you want. For people to be compelled to give you something that is so valuable. We're talking about, it's almost like somebody saying, look, hey, you need, what, you don't have no money to bury your wife or something? Here, I got some money. Here, I'm going to give you $10,000. Don't worry about it. Bury her. Who are you imprinting on? What are you imprinting on them? How and why are you imprinting on them?
Come on.
I think about my neighbors. One of my neighbors, he's 70, retired. I have to be honest with you, I like him because he retired in 70. He's not working no more, he's not doing nothing. But I always remember this name because we talked, and he's really imprinted on me, and not knowing. But he always tell me, he says, you're the corner house. You live on the corner. You got to keep the corner looking good. He says, when people turn into your neighborhood, the first thing they're going to see is them corner houses. Mm. And that's going to determine if they want to move in your neighborhood.
Yep.
I'm like, yeah, but I got a lot of leads. I got a lot. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And 2 of those trees are major. And we just cleaned up our leads this past, well, this is just the front and the side I just did. I do them on separate days. And that was 12 bags. And the tree is still full of leaves. I'm like, I hear you, neighbor. I hear you. But I look at him and what he's imprinting. He goes across the street from me, and there's a neighbor who's not there. And I think I shared this with you guys before, but he keeps her yard cut. Him and his wife, in their 70s, they cut her grass. They get the pine scrolls up. He gets his blower to blow everything up, and they put the trash on the side of the car, and they pick the branches up. She has not asked him. She don't even know this. He's just concerned that this doesn't look good for our neighborhood. He's concerned for the neighborhood. He says the corner. He said the corners must look good. And so I thought, man, this guy's making a big imprint on me. He's just really, he's leaving his mark. And so that compels me to lie. I say, okay, get in this yard. Do what you got to do. That's it. Stop blowing. Go, go, go. Takes me 2 days. He gets in and do what he do. I don't know, you know, I don't know. But takes me 2 days to do it. But I remember that. I remember that, that impression. My other neighbor up on the corner, this guy told you he was in his yard, first moved in, do everything. Now he's working out of town. I'm impressed by that. He's working out because of the job situation. But he works down in Lake Charles, Louisiana. But he pays a guy up in the neighborhood to come down and do his yard, keep his yard for him all the time. It's like, wow. Wow. But if he was here, he would be doing his own yard because I've seen it and I've witnessed it. And he's like, you need something, I'll fix it, I'll take care of it. That's how he is. Imprinting on others is so important because they don't forget it. Those you imprint on, they would not forget the things that you do in the community, the things that you've done in their life, the marks that you're making. You got to ask yourself, who are you imprinting on? What are you imprinting on them? And why are you imprinting on them? Going further, so Abraham here, he's having a discussion with the Hittites. And his wife has passed. He's in a foreign land, but they know him because of all the good that he's done, all the position that God has put him in to have the opportunity to imprint on these people and impact them. And they recognize him. Some of the scriptures say they call him Lord. And here in the NIV it says Prince. So they recognize this guy needs to be highly respected and exalted for who he is. Our God is amazing. We'll pick it up in verse 7. The conversation continues. It says, then Abraham rose and bow down before the people of the land. I'm going to tell you something about the human nature. If somebody comes and says to you, look, you are a mighty prince. You don't have to do nothing. Most people are like, well, I'm not going to bow before you. See, because you done lifted me up so high. Mm. You done lifted me up so high. You gave me so much respect. So I'm going to embrace that position. And I'm going to be like, you know what? Hey, I'm not going to bow before you. But Abraham turns around and shows great respect for the people he's having a conversation with about bearing his wife. And he bows down before them. And it says, Abraham rose and he bowed down before the people of the land, the Hittites. He said to them, if you are willing, I love, he's asking, he's not demanding, he's asking, he says, and he says, you have to be compelled to want to do this. He says, if you are willing to let me bury my dead, then listen to me. Intercede with Ephron, son of Zohar, on my behalf, so he will sell me the cave at Machpelah, which belongs to him, and is at the end of his field. Ask him to sell it to me for the full price as a burial site among you. So Ephron, the Hittite, it says, was sitting among his people, and he replied to Abraham in the hearing of all the Hittites who had come to the gate of his city. He says, no, my Lord. There's some more respect for Abraham. He says, and I give you the cave that is in it. I give it to you in the presence of my people. Bury your dead. Again, Abraham bowed down before the people of the land. And he said to Ephron in their hearing, listen to me. If you will, I will pay the price of the field. Accept it from me so I can bury my dead there. Ephron answered Abraham, listen to me, my Lord, the land is worth 400 shekels of silver. But what is that between you and me? Bury your dead. Wow, it says, Abraham agreed to Ephron's terms and weighed out for him the price he had named in the hearing of the Hittites, 400 shekels of silver according to the weight current among the merchants. You know, second point is, how do you conduct business as God's representative? Mm-hmm. We conduct a lot of business every day in our lives. We deal with a lot of people, whether it's at your office, your place of work, whether it's with family, whether it's with friend, whether it's helping a stranger. We conduct a lot of business. But in conducting that business, how are you representing yourself? How are you representing God? Now I'm going to tell you, when I look at this interaction between Abraham and Ephron, Ephron says, look, I'm just going to give it to you. He said, look, my Lord. The respect, once again, he's been elevated. Mighty Prince, my Lord. The human aptitude is to like, that's right, I'm somebody. You recognize me. Let me use this to my advantage and get this. If somebody says they're going to give you something free, a lot of us would be like, well, no, kind of Abraham, no, let me do right. But some of us would be like, I'm not even going to argue with you. Not even going to argue with you. 400 seconds of silver? I mean, 400 sounds a lot even in our terms today of dollars. But if you're going to give it to me free, I thank you and I'm going to go with it. But here's Abraham living in this situation, a man of integrity, realize he's in a foreign land. Maybe Abraham's thinking, no, I'm going to pay because this is the right thing to do. This is what God is telling me I should do. I appreciate your heart to want to give it to me freely. But the right thing to do is to purchase it so that it's mine. Mm-hmm. You know, have you ever cheated someone out of something? Mm. Have you ever cheated someone out of something? Are you always looking to get over on someone? And then a lot of us, it's in some of us, the more it is in others. Some people, we've dealt with people, we've talked with people who always is looking for the shortcut of how can I get over, how can I win, you know. When I think about getting over, I think about, you know, the marathons, how they say that certain people all of a sudden came in like at the very front of the line, they're not a professional runner, and they do some investigation, they find out that somewhere along the marathon trail, they took a break somewhere, worked their way all the way up, however they got there, they came out there like they've been running forever. I see that a lot back during the 2000s. They was always talking about these people and they would investigate them like, who would do that? You know? But try to make it seem like, yeah, I done ran that 26 miles, but they got off somewhere and they came back in. Always looking to get over. You know, do you show respect in your dealings with others? For us as humans, I'm going to tell you something that's a trying place for us to deal with people. It is the workplace. It is dealing with customers, it is dealing with clients, it is dealing with representatives of other companies, because sometimes the people we deal with, we find out real fast, they're not godly, and they do not have godly morals. And even if they didn't have God, they just don't have no morals, period. They're heavy into the business of cutthroat, do you in, throw you up under the bus, it does not matter. Anything I need to do to make this deal and make sure it works to my advantage and not yours, I'm going to do it. But you know, as godly men and women, we're called to represent God in the right way, regardless of what the other person is doing in the conversation. You know, in the workplace, people can tend to bring something out of you that you know shouldn't be coming out. They can bring a side of you that you know should never be seen. They can tap into that sin of yours that you know, this is a struggle for me. And for some reason, this guy, or this girl, or this man, or this woman, they're pushing every button. But God said, regardless of what button they're pushing, you gave me your word that you were going to hold it in the road. Do you show respect in your dealings with others? Abraham is showing some great respect here in dealing with others. One of the great things he shows as a follower of God is that he will not conduct himself nor allow himself to act as the world does when it comes to having business dealings with other people. God would always be on full display in Abraham's life when trying to be righteous. And Abraham learned from that. Remember, Abraham, his struggle was fear. And his fear, because he feared it, and when he feared it, he was no longer trusted in God, and Abraham would fall into one of his major struggles of sin. He would tend to lie and having to deal with his wife. Mm-hmm. But aren't you glad for grace? Mm-hmm. I think grace is sufficient. I think I heard Chris say earlier, was reading the scripture about, you know, Lord, please extend grace. But Abraham is an example of grace is enough. Don't need to extend nothing else. You just need to work on changing and being a great representative of God as you follow me. Ask yourself, what kind of example are you in dealing with the world? We know what the world example is in dealing with you, but what kind of example are you in dealing with the world? Are you a godly example or are you a worldly example? Are you set apart from the world or are you just like the world? You got to ask yourself that, not only today, but every day when you wake up. Who are you going to be? You know, the pandemic, it's going on, but it shows a lot about people. If you didn't know, it shows a lot. I've seen a lot of people frustrated going up. And you know, water became a precious commodity at one time. But you know what? I have no problem going down there to the Pearl River, dipping out some water, bringing home and boiling it. I just don't. Water is abundant. It is abundant. We're just a little spoiled because we can get that nice bottle of water. And then we can say, well, no, I like this type of water, that water. Like when I grab my water over there, Chad's Spoiler has, I said, let me see, it's purified. I won't drink the Nestle water right there. But I won't drink that water. It's crazy. And it's amazing that when you drink water that they take and purify or whatever they do in these plants, you can taste the difference. Mm-hmm. You just see like, this water got something in it. It tastes different. But we're just spoiled and picky, you know, and God has put us in a country where we're catered to. Mm-hmm. We are very much catered to. A lot of countries, they don't cater to their people. We are catered to. We are pampered. And so if it's not right, we don't want it. But you know, even if it's not right, how do we deal with people? Mm-hmm. What is our attitude? What comes out of our mouth? God said what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. Uh-huh. You know, if you don't do right by people, people tend to not want to deal with you.
Right.
And your dealings with the world, be godly in all areas of your life. Abraham's wife is past, he's mourning, but even when you lose a loved one, you still have to conduct business. We would like for it to be easy. When you lose a loved one, you still have to manage business. You have to begin the affair of getting everything that you've already put in order, getting it out and executing these various different things so that you can take care of your loved one for the last time. And that will mean talking to people, having conversations with people. Yes, people will feel your pain and they will feel your grief, but business still has to be conducted. Mm-hmm. And even in your grief and pain and life and your agonizing time and your sadness and your feelings being hurt, how will you deal with the world? Will you shine as one of God's children or will you act like the world? Finally, guys, and I'm going to close out here in verse 17. It says, so Ephron's field and Machpelah near Mamre, it says both the field and the cave in it and all the trees within the border of the field was deeded. What a blessing from God. It says to Abraham as his property in the presence of all the Hittites who had come to the gate of the city. It said afterward, Abraham buried his wife Sarah in the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre, which is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave in it were deeded to Abraham by the Hittites as a burial site. Man, imprint. Who will you imprint on going forward? You don't know how long you're going to be here, but what you do know is you got a lot of imprinting to do. There's going to be a lot of imprinting happening in your life. Thanksgiving. You look at the two words. Thanks, being grateful. Giving, need to give. I thought that was just really amazing looking at those words deeply because it's really setting you up for the 2 months that we take time to reflect. It's like wrapping up everything and like being grateful that I made it to the finish line of 2020 or saying I'm so close. Thanksgiving is the month of being thankful. But it preps you for giving what? Going into the month of December, I need to give. And everybody wants to make it to that finish line with the right heart, with the right mindset, with the right attitude. But you want to see all your loved ones make it. My job, most of you know, is I'm an investigator for a law firm. I talk to a lot of people. And it never fails around this year, I do more death cases. And some of the most painful death cases is when I talk to those parents who lose their child. Those are so painful. Those women. When I first started doing this, I couldn't help but cry with the families. It just so hurt me so bad. So bad that I think I squeezed the gate even closer around my kids, limiting them from doing things. But years have gone on, and I've kind of gotten used to it, but it's still painful when I talk to them. Talked to a mother the other day. Child died right up here on the Natchez Trace, 24. And I could hear the pain in her voice, and I could hear how she's just upset and anguished. And I thought what was so more painful for her, when I heard it, it just imprinted on me so deeply, was she did not get to see her child until they brought the child to the funeral home. That's it. She could not. It would not. When they got to the accident, they took her child and they told her, the police, the coroner, you just let us know where the child needs to be and we'll deliver. That's all she could do. She could not, in the funeral home. When the service was going, this is what she could see. I could hear the hurt and pain in that mom. And I could think, like, goodness, that's hard. That's hard. Because as a parent, even if your child's passed, you want to try to see them immediately. She says, I couldn't see her until service got started. Because of COVID. Because of COVID. Following protocol. You know, in that time, I had to sit aside Sydney. And then I've gotten better at it. I had to sit aside Sydney and I had to handle this delicately. And I just had to listen. I knew I was already late for another client. But I had to make time to help her get through this. I had to let her say all her piece, say everything that she needed to say, so we can get to the point of figuring this out. You know, when I thought about seeing my kids, I said, man, my family's here for Thanksgiving. Her baby's not here. Her baby's not here. Only daughter. Only daughter. And they're in chaos right now. They're trying to sort through this and no information. We do definitely need to be thankful for Thanksgiving. Because there's so much that happens around us. We need to be giving. Giving towards so many people. And being a disciple and constantly learning about God and following God. You know, I hear for those things are like, man, just in your pain and anguish, how close are we to God? You know, because you know, death is the vehicle for which we must all travel to get to God. But in her, I can hear that. I can hear that hopelessness. Hear it in her. Her father, just that hopelessness. You know. So when I thought about this, I said, "Man, they are imprinting on me just the anguish, the hopelessness that they're going through right now." Of course, in me, I was trying to give an encouraging word. But in my business dealing with her, I made sure that I was respectful. I made sure that I was godly, and I made sure that I was compassionate. And comfort her, but most of all, I make sure I was patient. Listen to her. I hope she remembers that about my dealing with her. I hope that she remembers that part of me I imprinted on her. That I did not try to rush off the phone even though I needed to go. I just texted other clients and said, look, I will call you when I get to you. You and I are going to imprint so many people going forward. And you're going to have to learn how to navigate through this. You gotta learn how to manage, you're gonna learn how to listen to people, understand where they are, and how important this conversation is, and what I need to do to make sure I take care of the current person I'm dealing with while I'm trying to get to the other person that's waiting on me. You know, because of Abraham's imprinting on that community, they had great respect for him, that they called him Mighty Prince, that they called him Lord, that they were willing to give whatever he needed. You can have it, buddy. This is the imprint that he left on them. This is the mark. This is his stamp that he has left on this community. That they were like, no, sir, we got you. You can take care of. You know, he imprinted that community in such a way to the point that they were willing to do whatever it took to take care of him, expecting nothing in return. Who are you imprinting on? What are you imprinting on them? Why are you imprinting on them? Imprint not the world view on anyone. Say this again. Imprint not the world's view on anyone, but instead imprint God's love in and on and in its many forms on everyone so that no one will be lost. Guys, I hope you enjoy your Thanksgiving. I want to encourage you to enjoy Christmas as it comes up. I want to encourage you to love family, friends, and strangers alike. And not only be excited about imprinting, but ask God to make you aware of every opportunity that you come across and to remind you that this is a chance for you to imprint on those people. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, guys. Thank you so much.